Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Acting Inspired with me, Lewis Goody. So, today I have a guest. She goes by the name of Danny Sylvia. Danny is... fucking awesome. Let me just put it that way, straight out of the gate, off the bat. Danny was the year below me at Guildhall, and so we were kind of, knew each other, I guess. It's a busy place, drama school and all that stuff, so I socialized with people, obviously, but, you know, not the majority of the time you're in classes and whatever, so it's busy. So I didn't really know Danny that well. And speaking to her today was really cool because she is super inspiring. And I'd always known, I say at some point in the podcast, like, she'd always been on my radar, even before the podcast stuff. I was like, wow, she's really, like, doing something completely different. And not different, but, like, she's doing something different to a lot of people that I've seen, you know, post Guildhall. And so, but she's a singer-songwriter, if you didn't know already. Danny Sylvia Music, check her out, she's amazing. But I'll give you all that information again at the end. I've been wanting to ask her to do the pod for ages, but you know what I'm like, a bit insecure, didn't feel like I knew her that well. But obviously I asked her and she was just like, yeah, straight away, because she's cool. And she's doing the music thing. It's a really interesting story, actually, because I think it's probably will resonate with a lot of people who went to drama school, who maybe certainly at quite a young age and weren't sure what it was, not sure what they were getting into, but like, not really sure why am I only doing this because it's a part of this path that as an actor or whatever that we're supposed to do, you know, there is a danger of that, I guess, going to like an institution like that when you are so young, which doesn't feel young at the time, but later on you go, fuck, I was really young. Like, I feel the same way. I feel like I went to Guildhall, went to drama school too young. I'm from like Devon. And coming to London was, even that in itself was like mind. So yeah, I don't really know. I'm just going to crack on with this because I don't want to talk bollocks for ages. And I'll speak to you again at the end, but really cool, really inspiring. She was brave enough to go, do you know what? This actually floats my boat. I'm going to do that, you know, and not worry about the other thing so much. And that doesn't necessarily mean giving up on one thing altogether, like not giving up on acting. Like, that's the fear with doing other things sometimes, is like you feel like, or I feel like, it's actually your brain going, right, we're giving this up then. And it's not. It's, you know, or it doesn't have to, maybe it is for some people, but, you know, there are loads of things we can be doing as creative people, and it's really, really cool. So anyway, I'll talk to you again at the end, tell you all about her, where you can find Danny, and also going to play one of her songs at the end as well, which is a first for the pod, so that's exciting, that's cool. Yeah, enjoy. So without further ado, I present to you Danny Sylvia.
Take a trip on the canal if you want to have fun.
Uh, Hello, Danny.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming.
You're very welcome.
And thank you for entertaining me at your, not just me, I mean, there are other people there, but at your gig.
Private gig.
Yeah, just for me. I mean, I always knew, I don't know, you know you that well.
Yeah.
But obviously we're at Guildhall together.
And trained together.
Yeah. And I didn't really know that you had this fucking powerhouse voice.
Oh, thank you.
No, it's amazing. And I mean, I knew, like, I've seen videos and stuff, but it just, you know, months and months ago, even months before that, I wanted to ask you to come and do the podcast because, like, anyone who listens to this knows it's about the sort of the other things that we do to keep ourselves inspired and, you know, keep our creative juices flowing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's just interesting to me as well because I guess if I put this sort of my basic head on, it's like, oh, people who go to the drama school want to be an actor.
Yeah.
So to start, I guess, tell me about you and your path up to now.
So I auditioned for drama school when I was 18 and got in.
Oh, cool.
But I think I hadn't even really thought about it. I went to a sort of performing artsy sixth form college.
Yeah.
And everyone auditioned for drama school. It was just what you did.
Yeah.
And I loved acting. I still do. I think it's amazing. But I think given my time again, I would really think about it.
Yeah.
Because I think 18 is very young to go.
Totally.
I was so immature. I wasn't like, I really want to be an actor. Like, I loved dance and I loved music.
Yeah.
Like, that was always my main love anyway. But I always thought music was impossible. I don't know why. I had it in my head that it was just a far off thing.
Well, it makes sense, though. Yeah. I mean, it feels like that. Even with acting sometimes, you know, I guess with any creative area to looking at the people that we idolize, it's like that just seems a million miles away
completely. And the people I loved music wise people like Amy Winehouse, Adele, like, I mean, they're very obvious choices, but like Michael Jackson, you know,
I mean, there's a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly. Seems a million miles away. Acting seemed, because I'd gotten in, I thought, oh, well, maybe that's what I'm supposed to do. So I went along.
I don't know, from like a young age, you weren't like, I'm going to be an actor.
No, not
great.
At all.
Yeah.
I loved acting and I'd always done it from a very young age, but I'd also equally done singing and done dance and stuff. Not even really musical theatre, but dance as in like, I'd done hip hop and I'd done lyrical music. I'd always done contemporary music. So it wasn't that I wanted to do musical theatre at all. Although I think it's an amazing genre. That wasn't really, doesn't suit my voice or anything. I kind of studied them all equally, acting, singing, dancing. I definitely wasn't like, I definitely have to be an actor at all. So it's weird that I ended up going to...
Well, I mean, it is that thing, isn't it? When you're 18, I mean, it's mad that we have to sort of make a decision on what we're going to do at that age, because I feel the same. Like, I feel like I wish I could have waited longer before going to drama school. I think drama school was like the right thing for me, but like... Yeah. But I mean, you know, that train, as we were just talking about before we started recording, you know, the skills that you learn there and pick up are transferable to a million different things.
Completely. They're second to none. There's no way I'd go back and change it at all. Although some of the people in my year at drama school, we've talked often about the fact that we're glad we've done it, and we're glad we did it young, kind of thing. But we also kind of wish we'd gone when we were like 28, and we could go and just laugh through it, and not care so much, and not get so intense, and
totally.
Not, you know, because you're so, when you go young, you're so immature, and you're thrust into this bubble, which is so intense. Everyone's you know, so intense about it because that's the sort of people it attracts, and that's a beautiful thing. But it also is can be anxiety inducing.
Yeah, it is.
So there is a part of me that thinks, I wonder how differently I would have approached it if I'd gone when I was much older.
Yeah.
But you
didn't.
No, but I didn't, so, and that's fine. Like you said, the skills you learn there are completely transferable. And there's so much that I've taken into, even in terms of like almost on a business level, like the way you speak to people at gigs or replying to emails in a certain way and approaching people and having that go-getter thing that actors have to learn when they're even in third year, when you're having to write to agents and write to casting directors, and the rejection you get used to at drama school and after drama school and in third year. So that's been so instrumental for me because obviously even in music there's so much rejection
daily. I mean, it's a similar world, I imagine. Right,
completely.
Was there any point when you were at Guildhall that you were like, shit, what am I,
like, day one?
Oh, really?
Literally day one, I was like, oh my god. I remember I went in and I had I never even considered it to be an issue, but they were like, on our first meeting, they were like, right, you're not allowed to go to the gym, you're not allowed to play football, both of those didn't bother me, and you're not allowed to dance. And for me, I was never going to be a dancer, I was never good enough to be a professional dancer, but I loved it at that time. I loved it, it was like my release, wanky as that sounds, and I loved it so much. So day one, when I heard that, I was like, where am I? I don't know what to do. Why can't I go to Pineapple? So that was a big issue. And I think I really like held on to that and begrudged that through the whole 3 years.
Oh, totally, yeah.
So, yeah, day one, I really was like, and the whole of the first term, I was like, this is not for me. To be honest, the whole 3 years, I loved it in a way. I loved the people. I think the training's amazing, second to none. It's an amazing place. But I... For just as a person, I think I just had a clash because I speak my mind quite a lot and I tend to go against the grain. I think sometimes they were like, oh, just go with the grain. Just do what we want you to do. So I think that's why I was always thinking if I went when I'm older, maybe I'd be a bit more like chilled about it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's funny, 3 years.
And so on the other side of that as well, were you ever going, okay, this isn't for me. I don't feel like acting is going to be my thing, but or not necessarily not your thing, because we spoke earlier and you're still interested in doing it. And if the jobs come up, then great. But was there a point where you were like, singer?
No, not at all. It's so weird. The only time, it's quite a long story. I don't know.
Go on.
Okay, so... Basically, this is how I segued into music. So I, after drama school, not at one point through the whole 3 years had I thought, no, I'm not going to do acting. For some reason, I was always like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm training for it, so I'll just do it. It's fine.
I've taken the leap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I never thought of doing anything else. But I did a couple of films, and then I did a play, and it transferred to the West End. And while I loved it, and it was an amazing experience... and I'm still really good friends with my castmates and the director, I realised during the West End run, I was like, there's something's not right, because people kill, actors kill to do a West End run or something. And I'm not feeling like this is fulfilling me at all.
That's interesting.
So it was that was kind of the moment. And around that time, I joined a choir. They hate it when we call it a choir. It's a vocal collective, kind of gospel based, but more contemporary, called Urban Voices Collective. And I'd seen them at the Olympics. They performed at the Olympics with all the music acts. And I applied, got in. And being around those people, music people, singers, I was like, these are my people. And I suddenly realised that was more of the, I don't know, it just suited me so much better. I became kind of more of myself.
Yeah.
I felt really relaxed for the first time and I loved singing. I loved it. And I'd forgotten that because I hadn't really practised a lot since my sixth form days. And then... Okay, so this is where the long, drawn-out story happens. So I think I was like a year into Urban Voices, and I met the boss, Carl. I met his young niece, cousin, who was diagnosed with bone cancer.
Right.
So she was terminal at the time, and I met her. And I think she only had a few months to live at the time.
Shit.
And I was chatting to her. On Facebook, I think it was, actually, after I met her, and she'd written these blogs, and she was just incredible, inspiring, like, happy person, even though she knew she was terminal, and she was very just very loved, very respected just because of who she was. And I just said to her, I just want you to know that you're, you know, even though your life's going to be short, you've touched a lot of people, you've lived a very full life. And she said, oh, thanks so much for saying that, because I always feel like, because my life is going to be so short, she was only 19, that my life has been for no reason, it's been for nothing. And I was like, oh my God, that's the worst thing I've ever heard. And around that time, we were, Urban Voices were due to go in to record at Air Studios with a guy called David Arnold, who composed all the Bond stuff and Sherlock music. And randomly, Carl, the boss of Urban Voices, was like, I really want to do an original song. Can you, because he knew I wrote, he was like, can you write us a song? And I'd just been talking to Shannon. I was like, can I write a song for Shannon? Is that okay for you? Like, is that weird? I just want her to know that it's, her life's been impactful, even though she's not going to be here long. And so we did that, and it ended up kind of becoming this, like, this thing that we all still are really proud of. It's a song called Forever Young, which is on YouTube if you want to check it out. And yeah, it was after that I was like, I can write songs, and I can, this is going to, this contribution to me feels like me, and this is what I want to do. This gives me purpose. And if someone's, I owe it to people like Shannon, who's 19 and not going to be long for this world, to do what I want to do and to do it and do something that affects people potentially. And
yeah,
I don't feel I'm doing that with acting.
Right.
So that's, well, it's a long story, but that's basically how I segued
after
that song.
Wow. That's deep.
Yeah, I know.
Not at all. No, it's that's amazing to hear. I had a question, but I get, it feels kind of fickle now.
Did
she hear it?
No, it's so sad. Basically, we recorded it in the studios. We had a string arrangement made by David Arnold, which is so special, so lucky. And we shot a music video for it for her, which is on YouTube. And we literally drove up to play it to her. She had no idea it was happening at all, no clue at all. And she died the next day. She'd been taken in, and she was really, really bad. When we arrived, she'd literally just taken a terrible turn earlier than they thought and died the next day. So she never heard it. But we played it at her funeral.
Oh, amazing.
And her family love it and stuff. So yeah. I'm actually doing a gig. I do... done it one or two already for Bone Cancer Research. I'm doing another gig with them in July, and 20% of my proceeds from my first EP go to Bone Cancer Research.
Oh wow!
As a little, because the song's on my EP.
Yeah, yeah.
So I really hope one day, my dream is to raise a lot of money with that song.
Yeah.
Because she was so charitable and raised a lot of money for that charity.
Oh man.
So. Be cool if we could. That's my big goal, like ambition for one day.
Totally. That's one of the amazing things about any of the creative stuff that people do, you know, acting, singing, whatever it fucking is, to find that purpose, find a purpose with it, is really when people start to shine, I guess, and you do. You know, saw you the other night, and it was, you know, the songs that you've written yourself, and they were just amazing. Like, they're all just brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
I will stop doing that now. No, I won't, actually.
No, you're very kind. Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
But it just to, sorry, I feel like this is so, like, shallow now.
Well, not at all. No, that's just, I wanted to say how it segued in, but
yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, it feels bad to say it's amazing, but it's amazing that that happened, and you know, and she gave you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, that's why I love it, because I feel like she can, in a way, live on through that song in a way, and I hope that her and I. Well, I know that they think this way as well. That they feel like that, and they have this. In fact, on the EP, I've put her actual voice into little bits in the track.
Oh, cool.
So that her family could have something that was her, like, recorded, that they can play at any time.
Oh, wow.
It's a great thing. It's obviously a terrible, terrible tragedy. Yeah. But what's great about music and art is that you can... There is something healing in it. And that's why I did it, because there's something potentially healing for her family, for her. And it's her. The song is her.
And a celebration of her as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a celebration of her. And she inspired it. She wrote it, essentially, because she was the person that it's about, that it's inspired by. So
wow, man.
I think it's a nice thing for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing. And at that point, or maybe it was just before that, but I just to sort of pick your brain about this, because I'm sure a lot of people feel the same. I am having thoughts recently that I feel like guilty about, or I try and like stop them in the, or not guilty, but like, I don't know, some sort of shame, some sort of feeling like that, that along the lines of shame or guilt or something, where I go, I kind of want to do this, but I feel like, I don't know what the fear is, like the I can't even articulate it now.
Is it of letting go of acting?
Yeah, it is that. And but even you saying that, then I was like, no, I mean, it's not that. because I still love acting, and I want to be an actor, and you know, that's what I trained for and what I love doing, and
what you're so brilliant at as well.
Yeah, oh, thank you. But then when I feel like I'm cheating on it, when I'm having these thoughts of like, you know, because you probably don't know this, but I've been doing some like stand-up stuff and comedy things, and
amazing,
yeah, and getting involved in that kind of stuff. And I get the same feeling when I'm in that environment. I'm like, oh shit,
this
like,
is what
these are my people. Yeah, this is what I love, like this laughing thing.
Yeah,
you know, and I quite often talk to Kai about it. You know, Kai, you know, because she is. You know, she has definitely got that in terms of like acting, and you know, she's always researching stuff and looking at this and what's coming up and what's happening. And I sometimes look at her and I'm like, fuck, why aren't I doing that like that intensely?
Yeah,
I do it when there's a more of a reason, and then I realize that I sit at home not all the time, but like I'm obsessed with comedy and joke writing and how that works, and it really gets me going and like really, you know, excites me.
Yeah.
But I do. So my question, that was a long-winded way of getting to like.
No, but it is complex.
Yeah. Did you have that guilt? Did you have that sort of shame?
Yeah, I guess it was. I was almost embarrassed. Because you are almost like embarrassed. I for probably like I don't know how long it was, but I remember if I would ever see people in my year at Guildhall, I'd be like, oh, I'm like, I didn't know how to say it.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm still doing it, but you know, I'm just doing other things. And you kind of, and I guess in some ways we always will be. The good thing about acting is you can actually do it till you die.
Yeah,
like there's parts all the way along. And I do think it's something you can maybe dip in and out of.
Totally.
So it's never something where you need to, unless it's destroying you,
where
you need to like close the door forever.
Absolutely. So I don't.
The thing is, life's so short. And those, the emotions like shame and guilt, which we all feel because we're humans, are actually, as soon as you decide to let them go, I think that's when you can be really free and kind of do what you're meant to do. If your passion is comedy, if that feels like that's what you're meant to do, then that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
There's no more or less value in acting, in comedy, in musical theatre, in music I do. They're all arts, aren't they? They're all like entertainment, essentially.
Well, yeah, people who feel the need to create something.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how you do it.
And they're all of equal value. I mean, I think it's an amazing gift to be able to make people laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's probably one of the most beautiful gifts you can have, isn't it? Make people happy.
Didn't say I had the gift.
No, but I bet you do. I want to come. You need to tell me when they are. By
yeah,
the
I'll
way.
Let you know. Absolutely. Oh shit! What was I going to say?
About the embarrassment involved in saying it out loud.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. Why is that? Do you think? Like, what is that? Is it like?
I think it's a bit instilled into us at drama school.
Is it because it's such a competitive world?
Yeah.
And you're shit if you're like, dropping out of it or
well,
not.
Well, it's a fear of it's a feeling of that you failed, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And that you're saying, oh, it's not working, so I'm having to do something. I'm having to do something else.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not always like that. And I was kind of with acting that we were saying earlier before. I can't remember whether the recording was on or off. that actually with acting, it goes so up and down. So even there was a woman, I can't remember her name, but she was in This Is England. She was, she's beautiful blue eyes. She's just been in that amazing
I know. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
Woody's girlfriend. No.
I don't know. She's got short hair, dark hair, blue eyes. Anyway, she was on Graham Norton and she was saying that she got, I think it might have been This Is England, actually.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm fine, like, I'm going to be fine. And then didn't work for years.
Yeah.
And she was like, basically in acting, it's like completely, you can never rest on your laurels. So even the people that we look at now who are like, oh, they're doing really well, they're not doing really well, that all could change.
Oh, totally, yeah.
And go the complete other way. So I think failure is quite, unless you literally, no, I don't think you can fail unless you, but then even when you decide not to do it, that's not a failure. It's because it doesn't serve you anymore and you want to do something else.
Yeah, totally.
Basically, we're just worried about what other people think. And that's it. It's irrelevant.
Such a massive thing. And you know, even with this podcast and stuff and with the subject of the first song you sang the other night,
yeah,
like this whole social media thing is a fucking nightmare.
I know.
And, you know, it is way more, I know we're all aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all aware of like this, you know, the Facebook life compared to real life and what you display. And we all know, but we all fall for it. Or I do, at least.
100% still.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this guy's doing that and this and that and that. And he looks good. Oh, look at his photos. Oh, my God. He's, you know,
I do think it's dangerous because I don't think humans are meant to see that far into the world. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not supposed to be... So our parents growing up would have known probably like really well, maybe 5 to 10 friends really well.
Yeah,
and
they
had their family and they, you know, had their social life. They, if they wanted to speak to someone, they made a phone call from the house phone.
Yeah.
So I just think there's a simplicity to that. I'm not like an old fashioned person at all. Like I try and say, I sound like a granddad.
No, not at all. I get what you mean though. Absolutely.
There's just something about, there's too many things to take in, and you look, you're scrolling through, and this person's done that, and that person's done that, and that person's engaged, and I've just been broken up with, and it's all like you literally end up being like, my life is shit.
But
it actually makes you ungrateful for what you have.
Yeah,
but it doesn't make you, you decide to be ungrateful for what you have. Comparisons, like comparing, it's so unhelpful because.
Yeah.
That's their life. Like, we all have our different paths. And all of us have shit times, and all of us have good times, and all of us have great opportunities, and then have periods of no opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's just, but it is really hard when you're bombarded with it, and it's on your phone, which obviously we're all glued to, like me the same. We're all just constant. It's constant.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's scary, but, you know, necessary as well at the moment. You know,
but even with acting, what we were saying earlier, sometimes people might look at your social media numbers for casting.
Yeah, oh yeah, now, yeah,
that's quite sad.
This is a sad and scary thing. I guess you've got just like pay loads of bots to follow you on the internet.
Yeah, because you can do that, but then what does that even prove?
Exactly.
So silly.
Yeah, man. Mm. So we did sort of talk about this, but for the sake of the podcast, like.
Yeah.
Do you still act? Do you still want to act? Like,
so I did a little part in Catastrophe on Channel 4 quite recently,
awesome,
end of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was really fun. And they are hilarious. They were literally, the two leads, Sharon and Rob, are so funny. Even when you're filmed, they were just corpse all the time. They just have a great time while filming.
That's awesome.
They're just legends and so friendly and nice. So that was really, really great. Because I love screen acting.
Yeah.
That's always actually where I would have leant towards if I had a choice. So the answer is, in the future, I would absolutely love to do screen acting.
Yeah.
I'm not so keen on theatre, if I'm completely honest.
Yeah,
it's never really... I don't know. There's just something about it that doesn't...
Float your boat.
Yeah. Don't know why. I was never brought up going to the theatre.
Yeah,
I think that's maybe part of it. I was brought up on films and...
Yeah.
TV, my mum sit me in the living room watching the screen, and music. So for me, there's something that's a little bit of a disconnect, which is pretty crazy considering I did classical training.
Not at all. But I mean, it's a good training for that. And as we've discussed, anything else really.
Yeah.
You know, oh, shit. keep losing my train of thought. What was I going to say? Yeah. Come on.
I do that all the time.
I know, it's so bad. I'm really bad for it lately. I don't know what. It was a good one. I will get it, don't worry. I'll
come back to it, yeah. What were we saying? Maybe we can...
Yes, I know.
Get it?
So, yeah. Do you ever think about... Because screen acting is something... Like, acting in that way is still something you're interested in and still would want to do. And is it bad? I don't know. I'm workshopping this question, I guess, with you now. But to think that, well, I'm smashing it with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, and it's a creative industry, and we're in a time where people are from all different industries are doing all different things. So your success in one field could definitely bring work in another.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think about that ever?
Yeah, I do. I hope that if music goes well for me, I hope that it helps me in acting for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, or vice versa. I mean, not that I'm putting as much focus onto acting or auditioning at the moment because everything's going into the album. I definitely think they help, don't they? Because I mean, not only with stuff like stupid social media, all that crap.
But
I don't know. I think it transferable skills can be quite attractive sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Recognizable face. It's a bums on seats thing, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, the whole casting reality TV people in like West End shows or stuff, which is annoying. But I mean, you know, people like J-Lo do it. She does everything, isn't she?
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm comparing myself to J-Lo.
Triple threat.
Yeah, she can literally do all the things. And Beyonce, they do it all.
Yeah, man. Why not?
I mean, I'm not sure if I'm going to be the same as those guys.
Hey, man, you never know. Dude, your voice is unbelievable. I'll say it one more time. I think it's... I used to, you know, when... Like you said, it's when you see reality TV people... doing a
play or
serious acting or whatever, you know, it's annoying, but then at the same time, fuck it, why not?
Exactly.
And if you have something that is going really well, then really put your effort into that, and
yeah,
the other stuff will come as well if it's something you're still interested in.
Yeah.
How is your if you don't mind me asking, tell me to fuck off if not, but like you must have a pretty good relationship with
my
your agent.
He is a legend. Yeah. I absolutely love him. He's so understanding.
Take his name.
Yeah. His name's John Markham at the Markham Agency.
Oh, nice.
He is so, so lovely. So he took me on from that play I was talking about that was in the West End.
Yeah.
Having no idea that, you know, I was coming to this big crossroads.
Yeah.
And sent me up for loads of stuff. And I eventually came to an actual crossroads where... I was offered a Cheek by Jowl tour.
Wow.
Which is still going on now, I think. So I'm still being work now.
Jesus.
Don't worry, I'll just cry silently. So it was like, it started sort of, end of 2015, going up until about now.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I turned it down to go on tour with Diversity as a vocalist.
Fuck, dude. That's awesome.
But... I mean, he was so understanding. I mean, imagine
What
that.
Did he say? What,
he was like...
Were you terrified? I'd be...
I was terrified. Like, oh, I was God. Equally terrified of my mum because she was absolutely furious.
Oh, really?
Because she didn't know... I'd been working on my EP.
Yeah.
Like, not in secret, but like I hadn't really been, you know, telling anyone that much about it.
Yeah.
So she hadn't known that I was super serious about music. She just... I think she was just so confused after these years of training and whatever, all these things building up. But it was just a moment where I was like, I have to invest now in what's going to take me forward in the direction I want to go. And while Diversity, the tour wasn't original music, it was vocals.
Yeah.
And it was a tour. And I wanted to get used to touring, you know, vocally and all that stuff and getting used to what that sort of feels like to be a singer kind of in a show or whatever. But yeah, John was amazing. He was like, I get it. I understand. And even now he's like, just, you know, we put you up for stuff only when we think this is worth doing. It's maybe a short term contract or whatever.
Yeah.
he was like, we believe in you, we're here, kind of thing, just do you, we're here in the background, kind of thing. I couldn't ask for a lovelier agent.
Amazing.
He's very, very kind.
That's so cool. But, and also a credit to you for like, for, because I imagine that like, you know, a lot of people who, I imagine loads of people must have this similar kind of issue, this, yeah. Well, not issue, but like, this thing that comes up where you're like, oh shit, yeah. There's this other thing that I like. Yeah. I've got all this commitment or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's a credit to you to be brave enough to go, do you know what? I'm going to do this, actually. Yeah. Is that, yeah. What? I mean, that must have been...
It was really scary. You'll never forget that. I felt like I had a lot to prove, yeah. Especially to people like my mum, who I care so much about what she thinks, because she's like my best friend and she's so supportive. So I felt, I was like, right, I need to... Number one, go and do well on this tour and learn loads. But number two, I want this EP. I want to put everything into this EP and I want it to be a success. And I want to, you know, I want to prove to her that this is what I'm meant to do.
Yeah.
And actually, when I release my EP, she now would fully hold her hands up and say, you were right. Because she now sees that this is what I'm meant to do. She gets it completely. And she's extremely supportive. But it was a really scary moment. And I was actually expecting my agent to just go, all right, well... fuck off then, you dropped. And, and I was willing to take that risk at the time. I don't know why. It was like the contract lengths weren't even nearly the same. Like Diversity was 6 weeks and this tour was nearly 2 years.
Still going.
Yeah. So it was a stupid decision. Would I change it? No, not at all.
Yeah, I don't think it was stupid then at all.
No. No, I don't think so. No,
I mean, if you look at it financially, but you know, that's the shit side of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Great, man. Good on you. That's really... that's solid. Like, it's really inspiring. thankfully.
that's the
get
test.
The keyword in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I... so, how is that... this world in comparison? Is it majorly different?
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how. It's kind of... well, so in a way, I find it the people I surround. This is not a diss at all to anyone I went to drama school with. I love them; they're awesome, and I got on with all of them super well. But I have found just for me, the personalities in music I found to just fit me better.
Yeah, yeah.
And my friends in the choir and whatever are so supportive. And it's a very encouraging industry. I find with the actual musicians, business side, that's a whole different story. But the actual singers, musicians, I tend to find just so encouraging, and we all help each other. And like my friends who are also doing the same thing as me do my backing vocals for free and stuff. So it's just been quite a collaborative world.
Less competitive than...
Yeah, in a way. In a way, with my close friends, anyway. Maybe I'm just lucky with the people I have managed to kind of land within. But yeah, business-wise, though, I think it's more ruthless.
Right.
And it's quite terrifying. And I think with music, so with labels, I mean, everyone knows how, you know, all the dodgy deals you can cut with labels and stuff. And stuff like copyrights and stuff like people trying to steal some of your publishing or steal this or that. There's a lot more to look out for, whereas I think acting's a bit more straightforward. Is it like you get a contract, you do it, and then it's done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like that with music. And the business side is a lot more like men in suits than in the acting world.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
not in Hollywood, it's probably like that as well, but yeah, it's got a dark side for sure.
Yeah. Do you have to have... I honestly don't know how it all works. Do you have like an agent in that side of things as well?
You can get so I've got a manager.
Yeah.
I've also got a radio plugger. We're trying to sign with a live agent. And then stuff like a publisher, stuff like a record deal.
Yeah.
It's all very hard to come by.
Yeah, but
you basically have to have it all before that happens. So unless you're very lucky, so you have to have your 100,000 followers on each social media channel, and you have to have all this stuff. You basically have to come quite ready-made.
Yeah.
They'd almost prefer if you came like I don't know. I think also though it's about a hit, and it's fair enough. Like they want something that's going to guarantee sales money, which is absolutely fair enough. So it's just, and also the music industry has changed so much because of streaming. So
I thought about that.
Yeah, much less money in the music industry, therefore less money to invest in new artists. So you have to be lucky, you have to...
So how do you make a living?
Well, I don't really at the moment.
I mean, that wasn't necessarily like a direct question. I mean, how does one make a living in
Well, you could. So you earn a lot from merchandise.
Yeah, yeah.
You can earn from live gigging. If you go on a tour or whatever, you can earn from that.
Yeah.
And then with if you get a deal, you get an advance. So
right.
That's where your money comes from. And then you also earn from your sales. So actually, if you do well, you can earn a lot of money.
Yeah, sure.
But it's kind of quite extreme. So you're either earning loads or you're earning absolutely fuck all.
Like one last time, honestly. Like the gig the other night, I was like blown away. And that was, you know, I guess a small venue. And, but it was amazing, and the people, I mean, there were people there who you, like, don't know, I assume, like, just these audience, who were digging it, like, massively, you know, people were loving it, and I just think, I can't remember where I was going with that, what's the next step in, now you've found...
Yeah.
Your thing.
Yeah.
What's the next step?
Next step.
Yeah.
So, late last year, I was lucky enough for my EP, actually, the one I was talking about earlier, I won Best Songwriter at the Unsigned Music Awards. And that's been really amazing for me, just in quite a few ways, business-wise, but also just as a... like someone giving you a bit of validation.
Yeah, man.
Finally, or just something where you're like, right, I'm on the right path. Totally. I think I'm on the right path. So that was really good. So that's kind of sparked a few things. The gig the other night was at Notting Hill Arts Club. It was a place I've always wanted to play because it's one of those like bucket list gig places because everyone has played there. Like,
super cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw on the walls
photos
when you were there. I did that gig and another one the other week. I'm just doing a few small gigs to practice for my album preview. So I've been recording my album for a year.
Jesus.
Yeah, and writing. Well, I wrote most of it last year. I wrote a couple of new songs for it end of last year. And it's a long process. And actually, a year is actually quite quick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it takes ages. It's so weird. It's such a long, drawn-out process because production is so... difficult. I think producers are amazing, like the patience they have and putting everything together to create this ridiculous sounding thing. Like, I just have no patience for stuff like that. I think they're great. Shout out to my producers.
Yeah, dude.
What's next is I'm doing a gig to kind of play my album in full, start to finish, for the first time on the 27th of July at the Bedford, which is in Balham.
Cool.
If anyone wants to come.
Oh,
down.
That venue is sick.
Yeah, it's my favourite place. That's why
I went
I'm
to like
it
a folk fest thing there.
Yeah.
I think. Is it like that? It's like a pub, but then they've got this huge
theatre,
awesome theatre.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's one of my favourite places, so I wanted to do it, my first preview there, because I love it there. And also Ed Sheeran, who's one of my faves. Did a lot of stuff there. He recorded like live EPs there and stuff, so I've always been quite into it. And it's free entry, which is nice for the people coming, so it means kind of getting more of a crowd along.
What is the date for that again?
27th of July.
Cool.
Put
it in your diaries, people.
Put it in your diaries on about 9:15.
Cool.
So next, to be honest, I'm still in the process with the album. I've got another couple of tracks to finish.
Yeah.
It's pretty much done, and it'll be pretty much done. It'll be done by the 27th of July.
Awesome. Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
But that's another thing that's amazing as well, going into this, especially as a singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. Is that what you would call yourself?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you become... It gives you some more, a bit more... more of an element of control over what it is you're doing.
Yeah.
Does it? I'm asking, sorry.
Well, actually, I should have said that earlier. The thing about acting that I found personally, just for my personality, because I couldn't, because I was waiting for someone else to ring me.
Yeah.
I just hated, I didn't want that. I didn't want someone else to be in control of my destiny in a way. And I found with music, because I can go and write a song in my room, I can accompany myself, I can go and get it produced, and I can book a gig and perform it. I think I'm basically just a control freak. It feels more like something you can, control.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's a similar feeling with the comedy stuff, the little that I've done. I mean, it's very little that I've done, but like, you're just like, and it's even more scary as well. Do you find that? Like, when you go up to perform, it's like, holy shit.
Well, when it's come from
all
you.
All me.
Yeah. It's just me. Well, it means everything, doesn't it? When it's something that you've created, it's not someone else's line, someone else's song you're singing. The songs do mean a lot. And they're very honest as well, because I've always tried to be as honest as I can in my writing. Some of them are like too honest, I think. So you do feel a bit like you're like, oh, this is everything about me.
Yeah.
So if you could just be gentle.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? Like, we're like, oh, I'm just going to, I don't know, I'll just tell you all my deepest, darkest secrets.
Here's my heart on the floor.
No, it's great though, because another thing that sort of came into my mind when I was watching you the other night was when I was talking to Ken a couple of weeks ago, it talks about this thing that he's trying to crack now. He's trying to work out. He's such a curious dude. And it was like charisma.
Mm.
And not only were the songs brilliant and, you know, honest and emotional, I guess, is a word that I want to use. But also you had there's just this charm. That's lovely, and that adds to the sort of honesty and for me adds to the whole performance, because you are like talking between the songs and stuff, you know, it was just, you were there and you were you and you were happy and like I think it looked that way,
very happy,
and
oh, thank you,
and I think like that's this, you've obviously found something where your charisma can like come out and that light shines brighter and all these cool moths come closer.
Yeah.
Some weird analogy.
I love that. I know what you mean. It's nice to find something a bit like stand-up as well, where you're actually not playing a part.
Yeah.
And it's actually quite a strange and exhilarating thing at the same time.
Yeah.
To literally be completely yourself. And some people really don't like it, and but it's kind of fine because you're yourself, you can't change exactly who you are. It's kind of quite freeing in a way.
Totally, yeah, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah, and even with the songs, something I really took from Guildhall, from training, is, you know, like when you tell a story.
Yeah.
You're not acting, but you're maybe reenacting a story.
Yeah, yeah.
Or telling a story. I tried to use that so that I, with the songs, with performing them, I'm not trying to act. I'm just trying to use the tool I learned at drama school, which is to basically connect and like tell it as though it's you telling a story.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've always tried to really tap into, and that I really appreciate that in other artists.
Yeah.
So that's something. So for example, I don't know if you know a guy called James Arthur. Just come off the top
I
of
don't,
my head.
No.
So he was actually on The X Factor, but he suddenly had amazing commercial success. It was the last season of X Factor I watched. And he is a master at connection. Like, it literally comes out of his... Oh, he literally gets his heart, puts it on the floor, and it's like, and it's so like, you know, like the best acting performance you have.
Yeah.
Someone like, who's Jerusalem guy?
Oh, Mark Rylance.
Yeah, where it's just like, it's almost, they're almost not acting, they're like kind of being. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So wanky.
No, totally. It's like, it's almost like the whole point of acting is to not act.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I love that. I think that's a really interesting thing. And actually, stuff like stand up. There's an element of that, isn't there?
Yeah, totally. And it's fucking hard, actually.
It is quite hard to not try.
Yeah, yeah.
To not try to say what you're saying.
Yeah, and I suppose, and that, I guess, if, I mean, I haven't done enough to to have a style yet, but I guess if I did have any, it would be a storytelling kind of vibe. Because that's what all of these things are for, really. Mm-hmm. You know, comedy, music, theatre, screen, it's all stories.
Because humans love to hear stories.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really cool.
Well, my EP, my first EP is called Monologues, and my album's called Tall Tales for that reason, because I think storytelling is so important.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like when I called my EP that, it was kind of an homage to Guildhall in a way, to say, like, I learned so much from you.
Yeah.
But I'm just taking it elsewhere.
Yeah,
if
man.
That's okay, kind of thing.
Even if that's okay. Yeah. Just do it, man. Like, yeah. And as we were talking about before, was it before we start recording? Talking about Ken? How, you know, he, again, was someone who at Guildhall constantly reinforced this idea of these skills that you're picking up here can be used for all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, take those skills and do whatever you want with them.
Yeah.
You paid for them.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's amazing. And, yeah, just it truly is, I think, brilliant and really inspiring to when people are brave enough, like yourself, to grab hold of that thing. And would you say you, like Guildhall or drama school, the idea of wanting to be an actor at some point has played a huge part on, or played a part at all on, in what you're doing now?
100%.
Yeah.
Well, number one in the storytelling element of it, which I never really even thought about before I went to Guildhall. Number two in the chat, in the performance, in just being able to even get on stage in the first place. And number three, which is the main one, I think, is resilience.
Yeah.
Because you do learn a lot of resilience at drama school, especially in that third year when it's so scary, isn't it? And you just feel like what have I got myself into? And you're getting all these rejections from all the, you know, sending out like 3,000 headshots and not getting one reply, which we've all done.
Oh, yeah.
And all the rejections you experience after drama school in acting. Now when I get my daily rejections, of which there is sometimes multiple, obviously we're all human, some words really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
And they always will, and that's a good thing, otherwise you'd be a robot. But for the most part, there is a part of you that goes, okay, but you just go on anyway.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something I learned at drama school.
Amazing. I know we haven't seen much of each other since Guildhall and stuff, but you've always been in my, what's the word? Peripheral vision or something, you know, like you've always been there. I've always been aware of what you're doing and sort of, you know, just going, what is she up to? Because it is like your whole path and your whole journey and the what you're doing now is like equally as successful as whoever, you know, we were at school with and is smashing it as an actor in Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I think what you're doing is equally as inspiring. And, because we often, I was in this is me opening up too much now. But I went for like a counselling session the other day.
Yeah.
And I was doing the whole comparing thing and, you know, I was explaining my thoughts to this woman and going like, I feel like I haven't done enough, I haven't done this, I haven't done that, everything I haven't done.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't feel like I'm scared that I'm not going to be successful. And then she was like, over the last few weeks, you've told me you're doing this podcast thing, you got this audition, whatever, you've been writing this, you've been doing a stand-up thing. And she listed off, she gave me this huge list, and I felt like a twat, because, do you know what, I'm successful. And you are successful. It's not about what we always attach it to, which is, you know, not our fault. We idolise people, and that's cool, that's fine as well, but like, you know, and those people are amazing, but it doesn't take away from the success that, you know, people like yourself are breeding, and you know, it's inspiring for so many people. Because people come and see the music, and people follow you on all our favourite
channels.
Yeah, exactly.
Social medias. Exactly. No, but you're right.
It's amazing.
I know what you mean, because Guildhall is a place of high achievers. I think we're so hard on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
So you, I mean, from the outside, I look at you and I think you're really successful, but there's never enough for us. But I do think that's just the mark of a creative person as well. We're never satisfied, are we? We always want to be better and want to be doing this and that.
Well, yeah, because what is it that what physically, tangibly is it that we're trying to achieve?
I don't even know.
Yeah, there's not a thing. There's not like a thing at the end of this road.
No.
It's just good fun, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And potentially nothing. And do you know what? There's something quite freeing in that though, isn't there?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I know what you mean. We all have those thoughts where we're like, what if I'm not going to make it? And what even is make it?
Well, exactly. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, you have made it.
Yeah. I think as long as you're happy in what you're doing, sounds very twee, but you are successful, aren't you? And also, not that many people do what they want to do.
Yeah.
So even that in itself is quite a, you know.
That is bravery in itself as well. Yeah. To be able to go, well,
I'm going to earn no money and do these creative things.
Exactly, yeah. Fuck it, why not?
Yeah.
One last thing. Mm-hmm. I haven't done this for a while, but I think it's a good time to do it, is what advice would you give to maybe yourself or, like, because I'm sure that there are people out there having these thoughts and not voicing it, because, you know, thoughts about, like, doing other things or, like, not even going away from acting necessarily, but, like, other things you want to do within the industry, but you sort of keep it quiet or you don't want to sound like you're giving up on acting and that kind of stuff. What would you say to someone who is, you know, this is the worst question in the world. I haven't put this together very well at all. But what would you what would your advice be to someone who's having that thought?
My advice would be that everyone only cares about themselves and no one cares what you're doing, really. Like, and that sounds like I'm being horrible. I'm not. It's actually, as soon as you realise that, okay, so say you're saying to a friend, I'm giving up on acting. They might be like, oh, you're sat there going, oh, they think I failed and they think this and that. They're probably thinking about, oh, what am I going to do tomorrow or what?
Yeah.
Because we're all innately selfish because we only have ourselves as a reference. And we all have our own ambitions. We care about what we do in our family. But really, no one cares. So my advice would be to just know that no one really is bothered about what you're doing.
Do your thing, basically. Yeah. Yeah,
because no, it doesn't really affect anyone else's life apart from yours.
Totally. Amazing. Good job. quickly, so I was going to ask you to write all this stuff down, but would you have it on head, all the stuff that's coming up for you and all the social media stuff as well?
Yeah.
I will reiterate it at the end, but so what's the next...
So my main thing, so I've stopped gigging for a while to do the album So, but I'm back to business with gigging. So my first big event coming up is at my favourite venue, The Bedford, on the 27th of July.
Awesome.
So a couple of months. And I'm on stage at about 9:15 p.m. There'll be acts before me though, so go along to them because I'm sure they'll be brilliant. And I'll be playing my album in full for the first time live with the track and everything and the musicians. And then after that, I'm going to book some other gigs anyway. But after that, it's album time, so hopefully starting to release some singles, more singles. Oh, by the way, I've also got a single that's coming out in the next few weeks called Perfection Generation, which is about social media. And a video for that, which is coming out, which I was editing last night. So look out for that. And after that, who knows? It's kind of a mystery.
And I look forward to seeing what happens with it.
Media. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter is all at Danny Sylvia Music, which is DanySylvia Music.
Mate, do you have a website as well? Or
yeah, which is DannySylviaMusic.com. And YouTube, it's just Danny Sylvia.
And what was the song that you wrote for... Was it Shannon?
For Shannon, yeah. So if you type in Forever Young Urban Voices Collective. You'll find that as well. Yeah.
So much cool stuff.
Yeah, there's quite a few little things on there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming and doing this. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. It's been really nice to talk. I don't think I've ever really talked about all the acting stuff before. So.
No, absolutely. Really nice. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
Right? How cool, man. I really think she's super inspiring and I just love what she's doing and what she's you know, managed to achieve. And I mean, her voice, as you will hear in a moment when we play her song, is unbelievable. And in the flesh, live is even better. So make sure, if you like listening to Danny today, and if you like the song that's about to play now, make sure you get your ass down to the Bedford in Balham. It's quite close to the tube station. Really cool venue. I went there to see like a mini folk fest thing, and that was off the chain. It was cool as hell. And Danny will be performing her album there, singing her new album in full for the first time ever, all the way through. She'll be on stage, I believe she said, in the episode around 9:15. That's the 27th of July, which is a Thursday. Tall Tales is the name of the album, and I really recommend going down there to check her out live, because it's pretty impressive. And especially after, you know, chatting with her today, I'm just like, yes, you are awesome. And it's just another actor, or another sort of someone, another creative person who started off in one path and found her way over time. Which I think is, you know, we don't see that. We don't talk about that enough. And the sort of different areas we can explore. And we did today, and I'm glad we did. So do make sure you, if you're free, go down to see Danny at the Bedford in Balham on the 27th of July, which is a Thursday, at 9:15-ish. I think the show starts at 8, but she'll be on at like 9:15. And she'll be singing her new album, Tall Tales, all the way through, from start to finish, in full, for the first time ever. You can also follow Danny at Danny Sylvia Music. That's at DanySylviaMusic, obviously. And that's the same for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And check out DannySylviaMusic.com to see what's going on with her and listen to some of the tracks. And now we are going to play one of those tracks. So enjoy. Thank you, ladies, again. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again, for taking some time to be with me today and me and Danny today. Thank you very much for that. And I really appreciate you you listening to this, and thank you so much for any, you know, all of your support. It means a lot. It's cool. I love doing this, and I'm going to keep doing it, and I hope you like it. Anyway, enough blabbing about me. Listen to Danny Sylvia's song, Perfection Generation. Here we go. Bye. Like a picture. Tell them I'm worthy, show them I'm worthy of your love. We could prove it with another picture. We don't sleep, it's like a chemical we need to breathe it, bleed it.
you? What do you do when the love you're giving isn't enough for you? What do you do?
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.